Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
I do want to give you this foundation scripture for the lesson. Jesus said in Matthew 6:31, says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Now, in this text, I believe you can see really value and priority right there in the same text. Because when one says, "I'm worried about what I should eat and what I should drink, what I should wear," then there's obviously a value, high value placed on eating and drinking and wearing clothes. Now, of course, those are survival needs as well. However, sometimes there is almost an obsession, almost a fear that people have about lacking things. Well, when we learn to value, and then from value we come to priority, in verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God." Now there is the value, all right, we should have, and then the priority follows. But seek first, but rather than worry, right, rather than worry, because your Father knows you need these things, then, all right, he knows you need it. You need it. He has the supply of it. So what's left? Seek. Press into God. Focus on him. Value the kingdom. The kingdom is the king's domain, right? The king and his domain. Well, when you're in his domain and recognize him as the king of the domain, then the king has all the supply you need. It's a matter of what you value. Where is your value? Where is your focus? And so when you value the kingdom of God, the king and his kingdom, and his righteousness is his right standing with God. You really can't make yourself righteous. Isaiah said that our righteousness is as filthy rags. But God does grant us, he imputes, he imparts to us, he as a gift, he gives us righteousness. So through Christ, we become righteous. It's a miraculous change of our hearts. So righteousness is the gift of God. Everything God requires, he provides, right? This is great. So then if you can just simply change what you value and move your value away from your worries and your fears and your concerns and your wants and things in this life and obsessions of things, if you can shift that over and value the kingdom where all the resource is, the king's domain, if you can value the king's domain and then seek first that kingdom, that becomes a new set of value or the basis of your values, and then priority just follows. Righteousness. And then watch this. All these things will be added to you. All right. So that was the foundation scripture. Let's also look here at a couple of parables. Well, one parable, two parts. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like something precious buried in a field, which a man found and hid again. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Now, we're going to really talk about this part. The second part talks about the pearl of great price. We'll leave that for this coming Sunday. Now, this is interesting text here. The kingdom of heaven is like, all right? Now, for the purposes of our lesson, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven are the same. There's a difference, but for today's lesson, the context indicates the same. Well, God's kingdom is like something precious buried in a field. It's not just apparent. See, the best things in life, the best thing God has for you, is not unavailable to you, but God doesn't just throw it around. He wants you to have a sense of value. When you value the kingdom, then you begin to recognize and find things and blessings and resources that God then makes available to you. He helps you when you become, when your values shift, when you seek the kingdom, he adds these things to you. So here's a man. This is a parable. It's a fictional story. Here's a man who found something, who found something precious, something expensive. We don't know what it was, but something was very valuable and precious buried in a field. And so it's like something buried in a field. And so the man found it. I don't know if he found there's a piece of it sticking up out the ground. We don't know how he found it, but he found it. And when he hid it again, as soon as he saw it, he said, oh my goodness, and he hid it again. He buried it to hide it. And in his joy, he goes and sells all he has, and he buys the field. Now, that's a statement of value. He found value in that field. So much so, he sold his house, his camels, you know, whatever he had, and he bought that field because he reasoned, man, if I found this much, this little bit of value, a precious, rare, expensive, whatever things, then there must be more in this field. Therefore, he took the decision, buy the whole field. Now, this thing of something found that was buried, when you research this in Hebrew culture, you find out that back in that day, people didn't have safe deposit boxes, didn't have the safe, didn't keep things in the bank and a firebox and all that. Anything important, people buried it somewhere. They would bury stuff in the ground. And that was their way of hiding it and protecting it and preserving it for a future time. And I want you to understand that Christ spoke a parable, and parables always had relationship or related to what people understood. So this story for them was very familiar. It seems strange. Why would somebody bury something and then somebody find it later? All right. Well, that was the practice back then. And also I learned that oftentimes in cases of warfare and conquest, when people saw there was trouble coming, they would hide possessions in the ground. And then when the war passed, they came and, you know, and dug those things up and retrieved them. However, a lot of things were never recovered. For many, many reasons, people passed away, people were killed, people moved away. But there was a rabbinical law, and we'll come to that in a moment, about finders keepers. So hang on, we'll get to that point here in just a moment. I want you to see, first of all, the definition of value. We'll come back to that story. Now, value is defined as the worth, importance, or usefulness of something. The verb is defined as to rate something according to its perceived worth, importance, or usefulness. We understand this, right? We attach value to things. Now, there's a verb form. You know, if I value something, that's a verb. Then there are values, right? We have values. That's a noun. We'll get to that a little bit too. But so essentially, value is the importance we place on something. Priority is defined as the state of having most importance or urgency, somebody or something that is ranked highly in terms of importance or urgency, the state of having preceded something else. So we understand that. So value and priority are different, but they are related. And I'm saying in this lesson that value comes first, and based on what is important, we then can make priority. We can prioritize based on what we value. Well, question, what do you treasure? What do you value? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Question is, what is your treasure? What do you value or treasure over other things? Okay. Well, I hear you saying, Pastor, I value prayer. I value holiness. I value the word of God. I value people. I value, you know, scripture reading. Yeah, okay, I get that. Yeah. So our intentions are always way up here. See, we always say the right thing. I'm asking us to consider the question based on another scripture where it says a tree is known by its fruit. I'm not asking about your intention. I'm asking day to day, what are you actually doing? That's, it's hard for us to think that way because we're kind of wired into our good intentions. But sometimes how we actually live, what we actually do, is different from our intentions. So the truth is, what I value, you know, is watching TV. It might be actually just watching TV or eating or shopping or talking about people. You know, it's so, yeah, we have our intentions. But if you stop and think, or in fact, I've been involved in seminars where, or in classes where part of the instruction was to keep a log, to actually take a few days, 4 or 5 days in a row and log your activities. I mean, by time. 8 o'clock, I did this. 9 o'clock, did that. 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, all day, log it, going to the evening, and then look back and see. And oftentimes, you'd be surprised at how much of that time was not productive, how much of that time was not really focused on your values, the things you intended, you know, for people to believe that you were actually about. So this is good, not to make us feel condemned or bad, but again, examine yourself. You know, we had communion last Sunday in New Covenant Church, and one of the things the scripture says was examine yourself. Examine yourself. So self-examination is always healthy. So what do you treasure? What do you value? Now, we watched a video about this, a little video, and it's on the YouTube channel. So go to that YouTube channel. It's a very good video showing the difference between goals and values. They are not the same. And I won't get into it now. I won't show it again now, but it's online. It's on the website at the YouTube channel. So please check that out. All right. So value determines priority. We just said that. What we call values drives our attitudes and actions, right? We do what we value. You know, when I was a kid, I got in trouble because I valued my friends. And my friends wanted to go places I had no business going. But because I valued my friends, I went with them. My value was not in, you know, staying home and staying safe and avoiding possible danger. Nope. I valued my friends above everything. And so there I was out there with them. They with me. Of course, you know, today we value family. And I think we do pretty good with that. Most of us, you know, if something comes up with our family member, man, we're going to move heaven and earth, right? We value our family and their welfare. And same goes for the people of God. Many of us, we value giving. We value being generous, right? We are tithers and givers. I mean, for us not to give and tithe is not even a question. Are we going to give? You know, we're going to give and tithe always, not because we're afraid that God's going to curse us if we don't. Not because we're afraid of lack. We just have fallen in love with God. And our value has shifted to the kingdom. And so we give and tithe and we're generous in all kinds of ways. Okay? We all have values. We all have values. And our values should be shaped by Christ and God's kingdom. All right. So that little video talked about values. And we know what values are. Values are the whole set of things that we believe and that we embrace. We all have values. Now, some people's values don't include God, don't include faith, don't include the church and giving and prayer. They actually value, their values go a different way. But as Christ followers, our values should be shaped by Christ and God's kingdom. Again, the scripture said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be added. That's the condition. So when we value kingdom, we get out of the kingdom what we need, what we desire. Value equals what is important. Priority equals what is first, second, third, etc. That's what we're saying here. Value, what do you value? What are your values and what do you value? Because it is from that foundation you'll be able to set priorities. It's easy for me to say no to things. I can say no to my friends even today about some things. There's some things that don't interest me. I'll share last Sunday, my wife and I have been married 42 years, and we are free enough to say, I don't want to do this or that. You know, I mean, because we get the opportunity, you know, to follow each other and do things and help each other out quite a bit. So we're actually very free not to do something, you know. And so it's good to be able to have true friends who value you so much. They value your preference. They value what you want or don't want to do. And then prioritize based on that, all right? It is so important to be very open and free with your friends, especially a spouse who should be your best friend. Again, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Let me suggest to you that things are not just stuff, not just food and clothing and, you know, so forth, but things are not just physical things to possess. The most important things are peace of mind, peace of heart, loving God, loving people, indeed and truth. So things is not only physical things. That's the context of the scripture. But I believe that all things, you know, it's not just all physical things, right? All stuff is also the intangibles, the peace, the joy, the contentment. All those go in to the result of being a person who seeks kingdom. You get out of king's domain, you get out of it everything that God has put in there for you. All right, let's do this, some questions or some statements to test what we value and prioritize. First, we'll say what we follow and value and do first. What we follow what we value, and we do first what is our highest priority. Now, this is a kind of an obvious statement, but I want us to think about it. Because if we don't value the kingdom, then we may find ourselves valuing lesser things. And that leads to us having lesser priorities, right? Number two, we go in the direction of what we value and we start the journey based on our priority. Another obvious statement, but one we should think about, because this is, our intentions are one thing. What we actually do is something else. Number three, we make choices based on the value we place on things and people. I left off here on Sunday, but it is interesting, isn't it, that you find out at some point in your life or several times along your life that you are not valued, right? Now, we don't place value on everything in every person, and vice versa, people don't place value on us. And sometimes it's a surprise to know who it is that just doesn't seem to have any, well, people might say they love you, I love you, but if you don't do anything, if I don't do anything, it's according to God's word, it's not really love if deeds and truth don't follow. Again, these things help us. The Bible helps check us, right? Really helps us to be real and cut back on all that intention stuff, you know. I'm gonna, shoulda, woulda, you know, all that kind of stuff. Let's get back to what we're actually doing. I mean, doing by faith, not just works and trying to, you know, no, we can't make God like us. He already loves us. The thing is, we work because we love him, right? We're not just doing things to impress others or impress God. We, from the heart, simply want to walk with him and be in relationship with him. And from that, then we place value on him. So we make choices based on what we value, the value we place on things and people. For example, there are certain things that I don't really care for. I mean, I like entertainment, movies and such, but I don't like movies that are just, you know, excessively violent. You know, I mean, I can handle some violence. Life is violent. But, I mean, I don't like to see things that don't entertain me. I want entertainment. I don't want to be stressed out. I don't want to be jerking, all nervous and stuff. I want to go in there and have a good time. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm not going to show with somebody if I don't like the show. You know, I don't like the show, whether it's movie house, whether it's TV. We all have our values. Now, what's good is your friends respect your values. And what's also good is that you can respect other people's values. And you may actually prefer to do something with somebody that you don't necessarily want to do. It's not your favorite thing, but because you value the person, you go with them. And that's a part of life too. It's called compromise. It's a good thing, actually. However, no one should have to always subject themselves to doing things that's not really what's in them all the time, not even spouses, okay? Let's go on with this list. Continue on. Number four, We rank things and people according to our priority. Yeah, we rank things. We rank people. And that may not sound right, may not be right, but we do it, right? There are people you're not trying to spend time with. There are phone calls you won't answer, right? Because of priority. Now, I think we had an epidemic of this ghosting situation is a problem. You know, people ghost you. You call them, they don't call you back. And I think that's rude, actually. I mean, if somebody you know. Now, I don't, if a telemarketer call, I'm going to ghost them, you know what I'm saying? But if you call me, I'm going to answer the phone. I'll call you back. So that goes to another lesson, really, because we say we walk in love and then we do little stuff like don't call people back. I love you, but call me back. See, so we have to get past I love you, but then where are the deeds? Where's the truth? This is the season. This is the season, y'all, to be real with God, real with each other, and mostly real with yourself. There's a lot of hypocrisy. We're permitting a lot of hypocrisy, and we don't even see the connection or the disconnection we've created between our intentions and our actions. So again, a part of this lesson is to help us refocus on our values and our priorities and get to a place of being sincere. And the word sincere just means to be in reality what you appear to be. That's what sincere means, to be in reality what one appears to be. Number five, we are driven by the value, again, importance and usefulness of things natural and spiritual. Right, so we're driven by that, motivated by that, of what we value of things natural and things spiritual. I value prayer, I value Bible reading, I value Bible study, and I value reading other resources. I study history, and I study contemporary things and technical things. And, you know, so, yeah, I value truth. I value information. You know, I don't read any fiction. Now, you know, I think fiction is a good thing. You know, some fictional books and things, I just haven't gotten into it. If I had time, I would. But I'm just focused on reading things I need to know about life, about myself, about spiritual matters. So I'm always, all my reading is really what's called nonfiction, okay? All right, number six. Our level of focus is based on the priority we place on things natural and spiritual. So then we're driven by the value, and then the priority, see, follows. Priority follows value. So then our level of focus is based on priority we place on things natural and spiritual. So today I was creating a video for upcoming Christmas outreach and talking about what it is, and I got into it, filmed it, edited it. And before I knew, 4 hours had gone by, just 4 hours. I just got up once or twice, you know, and when I finished it, I got up and I had a cramp, you know, in my behind. It seemed like I'm sitting so long. And I know it's not good to sit that long, but when you're focused and you have priority and you enjoy it, you're stuck there until you need to move. And so that's a little too extreme. I think, okay, I should, you know, get up every hour. I know that. The point is, when you have focused and it's based on what you value and what is priority, you go in and it gets done. I've written 12 books and people try and write one book. I've written 12. And that takes a whole lot of focus, okay, to get a book written. And of course, everybody knows that. And you don't do it just piecemeal. You got to get into it. Whatever it is in life that's important, get into it. Focus on it. First, know what your value. What do you value? Right? So I value the truth. I value God's word. I value helping people understand something. I value it so much that then my priority is, okay, I'm going to spend 2 hours a day writing. I'm going to write 5,000 words, you know, every day for the next several days, or 3,000 until I get to, 50,000, which is about a 90-page book. So the thing is, when your value is correct, that's when your value is established, that's your foundation, then priority kicks in. So that's why, you know, I'll be 65 this month, and praise God, feel good. But as a younger minister, I was in meetings all over town all the time. Everybody's meeting. And that's fine. I mean, that's my purpose then. But when I became a writer and my value changed, I spent a lot of time writing, producing, thinking, and prayer. And you can't get that done being in meetings 10 times a day. But now, hear me, but some people value the meeting. Their value is in getting things done in a collaborative way. And so they prioritize being in a meeting, Zoom meetings like 10 times a day, and they get things done. And I had that season, but now my season is to produce materials that go beyond me, that go around the world and internet and books and Kindle. All I'm saying is, you know, this is just part of what I'm saying, my testimony. You got to find your own value. What do you value? What do you value? And when you discover that, then you need to let the priorities emerge from that, okay? All right. Now, back to our text. Finders, keepers. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like something precious buried in a field, which a man found and hid again. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Now, Jesus spoke parables on purpose. It was common for people in that day to hide money and valuables in the ground for safekeeping. So that parable related, people understood what he was saying. There were no safes back then. There was no banks, no, you know, fireproof box to put stuff in. In a time of war, people would flee after hiding their valuables. When they returned, they would retrieve them, dig them up. Now, however, supporting the point in the parable of talents, there was three people received talents, right? Remember that story? And the person who received one talent, the Bible says he went and hid his talent in the ground. He didn't want to written. A talent was money, right? Five talents, two, one. And so the man who had one felt like, I only got one. And so he got fearful. And his value, the value he had was not to obey the person who entrusted him, was not to invest what was given him. His thing was to play it safe. So he hid the one talent he had. He said, hey, when he comes back, I'll dig it up and give it to him. Well, he did that, and the master called him wicked and lazy. You at least should have put my money in the bank, he said. Well, so no risk, no reward. And this is interesting because, again, people understood what it meant to bury stuff. You buried it for safekeeping. You didn't bury it to use it. You didn't bury it to invest it. You didn't bury it to do something with it. You buried it because you were afraid that something would happen to it if you didn't. And that speaks to us today. Sometimes people aren't doing stuff. People are afraid. I've been hurt. I don't want to be hurt again. Well, you're going to be hurt again. Deal with it. Manage it. But then the answer is not to shut down and not be available to people at all. The key is just choose better people. You know, choose better people. And everybody's not trying to hurt you. But see how we operate sometimes because we value, I want to be safe. I want to be protected. We all do. But don't go to the extent of then shutting everybody out, suspecting everybody of possibly hurting you. You get the point. Now there were people in the day, I found out from research, there were people who made it their life's business to search for hidden stuff, hidden treasure. People do it today. And especially because people knew things were buried, they went around looking for buried things. We see people today with these metal detectors on beaches and parks doing that. And so there must have been some excitement when something was found, okay? Now, Jesus told this story. Again, people recognize what he's talking about. And regarding the rabbinic law, listen, the law said, whatever is found belongs to the finder. Hence, finders, keepers. That's where it came from. If you found something that was buried, that was put away, it was yours. So the key is if you hid it, better hide it well, because if somebody finds it, it's theirs. Interesting, isn't it? Well, it brings some light to this parable because this man found something valuable and thought, you know what, man, if someone buried this, I bet other stuff is also buried and available in this field. So hence, he bought the whole field, all right? Again, he valued the whole field. You get the idea of that. And please think about that in your own lives, because there is great value in learning and discovery. One of the great lessons of this parable is the joy of discovery that caused the man to be willing to give up everything to make the treasure and expectation of discovery his own. Think about this, learning. Boy, I love learning. Many of us here are lifelong learners. We have bachelor degree, master's degree, doctor degrees, and we're still learning. We just can't get enough, you know, because there's so much more. Life keeps unfolding, and so there's new things we need to learn. We love learning. But the thing about learning is also, now I taught 4 years as an adjunct professor at a Bible college, and I noticed something, and I experienced it when I was a student, is this. When you're in a learning environment and you're instructing students, for example, you don't tell them everything. You don't tell them every single thing that they need to know. They have the book, they have lectures, do experiments and exercises, but what you're doing is helping them to develop the desire to discover. You give them all the tools, but the actual answer is waiting for you to discover it based on the tools. You follow me? So good students are those who inquire, who do the research, who read all the texts and go behind the text and look at, we call exegesis if it's a scriptural thing, and just where's the context, who said it, why was it said? So all of this is a part of the value of learning and discovery. And I believe in life it continues that like that man who found that one precious item, then he began to commit to search for other precious items in the same field. So then I want us to get the idea in the sense, okay, same for me. Let me be a person of learning and discovery. Now, what I do, both as a Bible teacher, I also do production and so forth. And I'm amazed at the things. I mean, I'm amazed how God lets me see things in Scripture. Nothing new. I'm not finding new things, okay? I'm saying I'm discovering principles that were already there. I've read the Scripture, 100 times, and today I saw something based on the commitment to dwell there, to be there, right? I literally stumbled upon it. And the idea there is that it's not luck. Is that when you're in a habit of learning and a habit of discovering, the Lord opens things up to you. You know, there are a person one time, I heard this about a person playing golf and he hit a shot. The person said, "Oh, that's a lucky shot." He said, "Yeah, the harder I work, the luckier I get. The more I practice, the luckier I get." No, it's not luck, it's God helping you. But you putting yourself in a position where if you stay there long enough, if you dwell there, if you dwell in the land, you know, if you stay with what God is helping you to learn, you'll eventually come up on it. And I'm convinced that God just doesn't let us see stuff in the first 2 minutes always. He doesn't let us become lazy. Like, he doesn't just show us everything and then makes, okay, Lord, just show me the next thing. No, the Lord wants us to study, to learn patience, to be diligent, right? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's a word. What does it look like? It looks like you stay in the area. You work that area. You meditate, you pray, you go back over the scripture, read, reread it, get definitions of the words, you know, go to the Hebrew and Greek, right? Exegete that thing, because, you know, That's how you learn. That's how the best learners operate. Okay, you got the message. So he says here, so again, the kingdom of heaven is like something precious buried in the field, which a man found it and hid again. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. All right. Let's talk about something here. Here's a modern word. Here's a statement. Don't be a hedonist. Don't be another hedonist. Now, where am I going with this? Well, let's look at the definition of hedonism. Hedonism refers to a family of theories, all of which have in common that pleasure plays a central role in them. Psychological and motivational hedonism claims that human behavior is determined by desires to increase pleasure and decrease pain. Well, that's true. This is contrary to the principle of following Christ and God's kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Pleasure and gratification are not the main thing. In fact, denying yourself and embracing pain is part of the purpose. Again, in God's plan, all things are added. Now, we live in a society, and we have been people who were hedonists. We practiced hedonism. That is, we wanted pleasure. The whole thing was, I want some pleasure. I want to feel good. Not just sexual always. I want to just, wherever I am, whatever it is, I want to have a good time. I want to party and this kind of thing, okay? And so now, let me just hasten to say, I'm not suggesting we who follow Christ don't have pleasure and don't have a good time. I mean, listen, I'm having so much fun. If I told you, you might be mad. You can't have that much fun. But the thing is, hedonism makes seeking pleasure the main value. The value, the main thing, I'm in this thing because I want to feel good. I want to feel better. Now, I've been to Africa 6 times on mission trips. I'll tell you something. You don't want to go to Africa if you're trying to feel good, have a good time, all them long flights and all that. I won't get into it. It's different. It's different, y'all. And it's no place for a hedonist. It's too much work. But even here in our blessed country with all the provision we have, even when you have a lot, you don't want to focus on that. I mean, I've got nice stuff. My wife and I have nice stuff. But we learned early on, seek first the kingdom. And sometimes seeking kingdom leads you to difficult places. Sometimes you go to hard places. Sometimes you go to painful places. Jesus said, deny yourself and take up my cross. Now, what does that look like? It looks like some pain. But in hedonist says, oh no, I can't have any pain. I got to always have pleasure. And so when you take hedonism and then make it religious, you got a real problem. I mean, we got situations going on sometimes in the church and among church folk that it all boils down to is like what Karl Marx said. He said, religion is the opiate of the people. He's saying, they're just getting high. And he wasn't wrong in some cases. Some people just go to church to get high. They don't go to church to change their lives, to shift their values, you know what I'm saying, to stop sinning, stop acting foolish. They want to just feel good. You know, it's true, right? It's true anyhow. So he said, religion is the opiate of the people. That shouldn't be true for us. The fact is, we are kingdom seekers. And sometimes denying ourselves and embracing pain is part of our purpose. You know, it's painful to go among people who are struggling, you know what I'm saying, who are sick and, you know, who are lashing out in their mental anguish and go to places people are hungry and desperate. That's painful. It's painful to be among people. You know what I'm saying? It's painful to go to prison ministry. You go in there, the first door clang, second door clang, and you back there with the dudes, murderers and such like that. You're not good. And so you don't just, okay, I think I'm gonna leave now. No, you're not leaving now. You got to stay till we finish, you know? Now, listen, when your value is in service and serving God, these things become a joy. Even though there's pain in there, it's still joy. I suspect that, you know, my wife had 4 children and I've watched the babies being born and I saw the pain that she was in to bring the babies forth. And that was followed by a tremendous joy. And we have joy today. I mean, even after they've been, you know, they've been born after 42 years and all this, and we still got the same joy now as when they were born. But my wife, you know, had to go through something to bring forth those children. So I'm talking real talk here, okay? What do you value? Don't be a hedonist. Don't be somebody just wrapped up, you know, and placing value just on having a good time. Because listen, again, God adds all things, and vacations and getaways and laughter, that's all a part of what God gives us. It's just that we don't have to seek it. We seek the kingdom, and he adds it. All right, let's go through here, almost done. Right place at the right time. So again, this text, again, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like something precious buried in the field, which a man found, literally stumbled upon it. One version said he stumbled upon it. And there is truth in being at the right place at the right time. Think about this. When you value walking with the Lord and value walking his ways, you stumble upon many precious things. Now, I mentioned earlier about that, right? The idea when you're a good student, you're in the vicinity of the resources of learning, and you just literally stumble upon things. Things come to you. You figure things out. That's the idea. And so I believe even in the things of God, we're at the right place at the right time. Even though we don't just see things instantly, if you stay in the right place at the right time, things manifest. Good things happen. You receive things. If you quit and leave too soon, you're going to miss it, right? A lot of folks miss out, not because God wasn't going to do it. They had no patience. They wouldn't wait on the Lord, all right? Now, it is God working with your diligence and working on your behalf. Please get that. It is God working with your diligence and working on your behalf. Romans 8:2, NIV says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Different reading, it reads differently in different versions, but the meaning is the same, that we know, see, God works for the good of those who love him. See, love him is in the area of being with and around him, right? Being diligent. Love is that thing that we don't just come, you don't come in and out of love. I don't love God today and don't love him less later that day. No, love is consistent, true love. And we're called according to purpose. So see, when you're in the purpose of God and when you're in love with God, then things work together. Things work for the good of you. You get that? So the man in the field, right? He's out in this field and he finds something and he buys the field. He wants to stay in that vicinity because he knows there's something, there's more good here. And so he has value where he is. You know, folk, well, I tell you, the saddest thing I see, these church hoppers. They hop in this church and then in this church and now they're over at that church and they're over this church. You know what I'm saying? They're jumping around. It's like, you know, if you plant a tree and you pull the tree up and replant it, you tear roots every time you move that tree. And you lose, that tree doesn't grow. It loses stability. It may even begin to shrivel. It may even die. And so when people don't understand the principle of diligence and that love doesn't mean jump around and swap situations and swap out people and stuff, man, when you learn to be consistent and called according to purpose. See, listen, you can be called to different things in your purpose. The calling is the purpose. You follow me? I mean, I've been a pastor for a long time. I'm also in prophetic ministry. I'm also a Bible teacher. So my purpose may change. My function may change. My purpose is the same. There it is. So you may do different things, but your purpose doesn't change. See, my purpose, I do graphics and I do, you know, production for churches. I fly drones and things like that. But my purpose never changes. My purpose never changes. And I get to do some of these things for ministries and help lift up God's kingdom. All right. Praise God. Powerful truth there. Again, what do you value? Do you value kingdom? If you value kingdom, then you'll find that when you love God and you call to purpose, then you're in the vicinity where treasures are revealed to you. All right. Here's my last slide. Well, the most valuable thing is you. Talk about what you value. Let me tell you something. You, yourself, are the most valuable thing to God. The Bible says, so God created man in his own image. Image of God, he created imago Dei. Image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Image of God is imago Dei, is Latin for image of God. So you were created in his own image. I talked a whole series on that earlier this, back last spring. He created them. See, God created us, male and female. He created them. Well, that by itself, there's nothing indicating greater value than you being made in God's image. Jeremiah 31. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Wow. This is Old Testament. But see, God's nature hadn't changed. People were different then. People didn't know God, didn't have Christ, didn't have the Holy Spirit. But God's attitude was the same. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Right? That makes that person valuable. Finally, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Wow. Wow. That indicates, again, your value. That if Jesus gave his life, shed his blood for you, that makes you valuable. So value yourself. Value yourself enough to keep yourself away from things and even away from some people who are counterproductive to your purpose. Amen? All right, well, that's my lesson for tonight. I trust you were blessed by the word of God today. It is so good to be able to get into God's word and just open it up, amen, and learn and grow therein. Father,